Thank you to Maggie for painting, expressing yourself in that way. It's been a blessing for, I think, all of us to see the emotion of Jesus. I want to be clear about something. We're in this series. We're coming to the close of it next week, but this Set Free series, Jesus, is attempting to set us free from all kinds of things. We've just handpicked a couple. We talked about shame. We talked about anxiety. We talked about sin. And in each one of those things, I think Jesus has the same emotion that came through that painting, and that is this. He has the emotion of compassion. He is compassionate for you and for me. Tonight's topic, tonight's thing that Jesus is rescuing us from evokes a different emotion out of Jesus. It's not compassion. For you to identify with what that emotion is, we're gonna have to use your imagination on a big scale, okay? So this is, forgive me, I don't know how else to do this. It's probably a bad analogy, but we're gonna try. We're gonna try to imagine what it might just feel like to be Jesus by imagining that you have unlimited resources. And you have this desire, this grand desire to bless people. And of course, you can't forgive sins and do those things, but in your personhood, you do have the capacity with unlimited resources to build a gigantic theme park. And you get to charge nothing for it. And your idea is that you'd like to give everybody a chance, even if it's for just one day, to escape the pressures of daily life, to walk in from whatever direction. There's no fences up. You can just walk into this park. It's open to the public. It is your theme park. For the older people, you don't have to ride the rides. You can do whatever the old people do. And there might be something that's specific to kids or specific to parents or specific to whoever. And it's just this well-thought-out park. It's a park of grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. That's what Ben was just reading. Jesus said, I want you to come confidently to the throne of grace. Same thing. This is your attempt to create a throne of grace, a place for people to come, a place for people to have fun, to let their hair down, to just experience grace for one day. And you've thought of everything. And the first people come, and they walk around a little bit, and they're just blessed by it. They love this theme park. They're walking around absolutely amazed by it. They're blessed by it. But a few people, within their soul, something starts to creep in. And the creeping in thing is this. Are people really going to appreciate this as much as they should if they're not paying something? It's just a thought in their head. Just a little thing there. And so a few of them get together, and they didn't really mean for this to happen, but it begins to take place where people start building a fence or a wall to where there's only one way in. And this way we can kind of control things a little bit better. It's just a little bit more oversight. It's going to actually be better. The park's going to be better. And we're going to charge a little bit for admission, and we won't take the money and put it in our own pockets, but we'll take the money and we're going to help people understand the background of this place and why, what the history of it is. Because they really should know the history, shouldn't they? And they probably should know the details of it and the ins and the outs and the layout of the park. And you know, it wouldn't hurt if we ended up having some rules. And maybe we should have a school that they go to. Before they get in, they have to like pass certain tests, because we don't want people running around just doing anything they want, because this is there's danger involved. We don't want that. And all of these things start creeping in people's minds slowly and slowly and slowly. They end up turning into bigger and bigger things. To where it eventually gets to this point where they're like, you know what, maybe it would be good if we ended up building a smaller park at the entrance of the bigger park, and to see if they pass that well, and if they actually function within there well, then we can graduate them onto the big park. And then within that little park, some people come in, that's the only thing they ever see. And they think that's the park. And they end up thinking that this whole thing is about rules and about understanding the history and understanding the theology behind this thing, the philosophy of its building, everything like that. And they end up thinking this little park is really the real park. Do you follow where I'm going? If that happened to your park, what emotion would come over you? Compassion? Let that be the backdrop as we listen to these words of Jesus.
Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead then and complete what your ancestors started. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?
That's Jesus' sermon. Those are Jesus' words. Woe to you. You got to understand something about what woe means. It really is translated in this particular text as cursed are you. Now, who's Jesus talking to? Jesus isn't talking to the prostitutes. To the prostitutes, he's like, love you, accept you, got grace for you. To the people that are ripping people off with taxes, he's like, don't really approve of it, but I appreciate who you are and I love you and I'm gonna bless you. I've got grace for you. People doing all kinds of heinous acts, all kinds of sin that's out there, Jesus is constantly showing compassion, and he's showing grace, and he says there's room here at this throne of grace. Come from any direction. There are no fences. You are welcome here. But in this particular chapter, Matthew chapter 23, it says, the title is The Seven Woes from Jesus to the Teachers of the Law and the Pharisees. The only people that Jesus ever got mad at were church people. The only people that Jesus ever lost it with, I say lost it, that kind of means he's out of control. That's probably not true. There is a difference between losing it and having a righteous anger. And his anger is as righteous as it gets, but do not mistake, it is anger. You know that verse that says, in your anger do not sin? It kind of shows you that it's possible to be angry without sinning. Jesus is angry without sinning, but he is not holding back any words. He says seven times over, woe to you, cursed are you, woe to 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 you. Seven times. Seven is a number of completion. This is the completion of the biggest curse out in history. And Jesus is like, this is not acceptable. You have ticked me off. All of you have been born into slavery. My son is on a football team at Normal Community, and just last week they played Peoria Central. And this running back is just awesome, and they're talking after the game. He's so good, he's so big, he's so fast, he might go D1. There's all this talk in the car on the way home. 5 days later, we're going back to the next game. This same kid, somebody broke into his apartment last Friday night, shot him in the head. It's just right here. It's in Peoria. This is the reality that we are born into. That kid was born into an apartment that was broken. Was it his fault? No. Some of us are born into alcohol and drugs. Some of us are born into the slavery of people manipulating and gossip. And you just don't know how to get out of it. When you're born into that and you're in that, and that's like your family, that's your life, you don't know how to get out. Some of you are born into the slavery of apathy, laziness, and you kind of want to get out. You don't know how to get out. Some of you are born, there's a number of different things that we're born into, but we're all born to be slaves. We are. That's just the nature of who we are. We are slaves. Jesus came. He says, I'm dying for you, and you need to be a slave to Christ. A slave to Christ brings you freedom. It's the only way. But anything that gets in the way of Jesus, any way that gets in the place of, that's a stumbling block between you and that throne of grace, Jesus gets very angry at it. Especially if that thing that's in between says, this is the grace. This is what you're coming after. This is, and tonight's topic is religion. Religion is, some people say, I just hate organized religion. I say, I just hate religion. I think Jesus would say the same thing. Because with religion comes rules and it comes these things. It's a false, it's a fool's gold. That says, if you have to do these things first before you can get to the throne of grace. And anything that blocks that ticks Jesus off. Jesus gets angry at the people that are blocking people from coming to the throne of grace. And so he starts into this big sermon. And I thought it would be good for us to just take a look at the seven woes tonight. They're read out loud and you listen to it and you're like, you get the tone, but I doubt many of us can really recapture all of it. I'd encourage you to go back and reread Matthew 23. We're going to look at each one of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And what I noticed today is that they're kind of in pairs. So we're going to read 1 and then we'll go to number 2 and I'm going to talk about each of those. And then we'll go to the next, okay? So here's what the deal is. Before we get into that, I need you to grip in with me. I need you to buckle up. I don't know what words I'm using here, but I need you to be with me. Because when Jesus gets ticked, we should listen. And I have a lot of emotion in me because I happen to have a lot of firsthand experiences of how this religion junk has hurt some of you directly in the last few weeks. It ticks me off. I have emotion in me tonight. I want you to hear it. I want you to feel it. I want you to know that this is real. I want you to know that the greatest thing that is keeping people from Jesus is us. And it's those little things that get into our head that we think we're helping God out with, and we are actually hurting. We're stumbling blocks between us and our friends and the throne of grace. And so we're going to take a checkup here, because when Jesus calls out seven times over, it's like a 7-point sermon, and it's not a healthy one. I was reading them out before. I was checking my PowerPoints, and Ben was like, dang, those aren't good PowerPoints, Pete. Those, usually you're more encouraging than this. I know. I said, it's Jesus' sermon tonight. And he's usually really encouraging me, not on this topic, when it comes to religion, when it comes to spiritual leaders, when it comes to church leaders. So here are the ones. Woe to you who tell people that they don't belong. You guys ever listen to country music? I'm sorry if you do. It's one of my things I do. I kind of guilty pleasure, I guess. And you got this. You got these. You know nothing better than the Church of Christ Day. You know, I don't know what song that is, but you know what I'm talking about. There's like this song, and it just kind of gives you. It's kind of a nice feel to it. But it just makes you feel like the church is for people that are in the country and they're all white and they all drive a truck and they all vote Republican, right? They're all heterosexual. And there's no room for anybody outside of that to fit in to the church. I need you to be honest with me tonight, okay? Because I believe on a college campus, you guys are more accepting than at any other place, and probably at this particular time in your life than you may be the rest of your life. This is a very accepting group. I am not bawling anybody out because I think overall Encounter does this very well. I think college students in general are pretty good about not being hypocrites, not being about religion, but being about relationship. And by the way, let me finish my thought before about that. When people say that they hate organized religion, it's not the organized. Usually it's the organized they think that's the big breakthrough thing. It's not the organized part. It's the religion part. So I guess what I would say is I am all for organized relationship. And we're going to take a test tonight. And as we go through each of these, I am confident that there's nobody that's like way over the line, probably, on any of these, I'm guessing. Maybe some of you are. But I am confident of this. I'm confident that all of us are guilty of at least taking small steps towards that direction. And what I'm telling you is that I think if you are leaning in any way towards any of these, if you're even considering the smallest of steps, just like in my illustration before, the small ideas that people had ended up blooming into big ones eventually, this is a time to nick these things in the bud because this is not the direction, this is not the trajectory that you want to be on. We need to, for the rest of your life, be grace-centered people. And so is there somebody in your life that you feel like doesn't really belong? I'll invite them, but I won't invite them. I'll tell them about grace, but I'm not going to tell these. Like I said, they're kind of lumped together. Let's look at the second one. It's make converts who tell people that they don't belong. Boy, that's the natural thing. What your experience was when you came in and somebody said, hey, you have to be this certain kind of person and you don't do these certain kinds of things, and people that do don't belong and people that don't, and you just kind of get, that's taught. And so there's four different types of people that we're going to look at tonight. The first one goes with these first two woes of Jesus. Woe to you who tell people they don't belong is this. Are you a guard at the door? Is it somebody that, do you feel like that, like maybe you could be one of the greet team, greet squad, and it's like, you know what? Not you. There are some people that, if you're honest, you kind of think, I'm not quite sure they fit here. They might fit at a different church, but not at this one. Are you a guard? The second is, are you a referee? Let's look at the next two. Number three is idolize symbols. And number four is worship giving. Jesus is talking about these symbols and people that are. It's kind of like you say it's okay to cross your finger. One of the message versions says it's okay for you to cross your fingers, but it's not okay for you to swear on this Bible if it's a certain Bible, if it's a leather Bible. And some of you might really believe that the only way to pray is if you're holding something in your hand. And some of you say the only way you can pray is you don't have something in your hand. And some of you say that the only place that you can really worship is at this church with this kind of a steeple. And other people say you really can't worship at all there. You got to go outside. And we have all of these different opinions about symbols and about their meaning and about baptism and whether we should do it or not. And we have all of these people that come into this place. And, well, it's nice that you know a lot about this, but let's talk about these other concepts and these other theologies. And let's talk about Arminianism. Let's talk about Calvinism. Let's talk about those things because those are more important than the big thing. And Jesus is saying, whoa, whoa. And some of you are saying, it's important to give a certain amount. If you're not giving 10%, then I guess I can't really accept you as a brother. And there are people, you say, that's crazy. It's true. There are people out there that are really concerned about how much you're giving, and they are going to evaluate whether you're a Christian or not a Christian based on the amount you're giving. Jesus is ticked about these things. Jesus says, whoa. Do you have just a little bit of you in you that's like, they should be giving more? A little bit in you that says, they're overemphasizing this and we should probably, I don't even really want to get into too many details, but you get it. Are you a referee? Once you're inside, this is where referees do their work. Referees can't do work outside. They can't judge people outside. But once you're in this church, it's like, I'm checking this church out, and you got your arms folded, and you sit in the back, and you're like, that's a bad idea, and I don't know why they're doing that. And whoa, what's she thinking? And you know those things, or what's she wearing? Are you a guard? Are you a referee? Are you an actor? These next two. Cover up selfishness. Have you ever thought about what it feels like to walk into... A lot of times people walk into a church that really want freedom. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about, what about those people? What about those people who are in a stuck situation? They're born into some kind of slavery, and they know that it's all messed up, and they want out. And so they hear about a guy named Jesus, and somebody says, you got to go down to that building. And they end up working their way down to that building, and they walk into that building, and the first thing that they see is a guard. And they kind of look you up and look you down and make sure you come in. You feel kind of weird. They pass a communion tray. I don't know what to do with this. Now you look a little bit. There's a referee that kind of helps you understand that this is exactly how you do it. Don't do it this way or that way. Those are some weird things. But here's usually what usually happens. Is somebody comes in those front doors of that building. And they see somebody. And it looks like everybody there is great. It looks amazing. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's happy. Everyone's excited. It just seems like lives are changed. And there's this perception that everyone is real and everyone is excited. And this is my home and this is where I need to be. And then you stay for about 3 months and you realize that some people are acting. And they're covering up some things. And Jesus has two woes here about this. Don't. He says, don't cover up. Don't cover up your selfishness. And the other thing is this, don't minimize your condition of death. He says a lot of you are whitewashed tombs, really on the inside. On the inside you've got broken down, beat down bones, dried up. Be real. Now if you're happy, smile. If you're not, be real. God wants your realness. He wants your honesty. He wants you to be you. And he'll meet you in those things. Are you a guard? Are you a referee? Are you an actor? Boy, and the last one here, this is one all by itself. The crowning jewel, number 7. Through pride, you murder Jesus. Woe to you. What does that mean? Well, in Matthew 23, he says, a lot of you are taking pride that you didn't murder some of the prophets that came before you. And he says, but in reality, you are here to finish the work. So I want to ask you this tonight. Do you have a judgment in your soul to the way people did it before you? Is that worship just a little too cheesy? Is your mom and dad's church just a little too old? Is the way things were that were taught to you just a little too something? And you think that you're going to do it better, and there might be some pride that comes in. I'm telling you, when you end up getting pride inside, you become a keeper of protecting this religion that is so destructive. We need to understand that Jesus came to die for us and to rest in that. I love Galatians 1. We're going to finish with that tonight. This is really what I want to emphasize tonight. It is for, listen to Paul here. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Here's what I love about this. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. All of us know what it's like to be enslaved to something, and all of us need to understand that the throne of grace is a place where we receive forgiveness. To be free, you're free. Not to be part of a yoke of slavery again. And Paul goes on a lot further in Galatians 5 to unwrap that and to unpack that and to tell you exactly that this is really about religion. And so as we close tonight, this is really what I want. I want you to break Jesus out of the box. I want you to break Jesus out of the building. I want you to recognize something, that this throne of grace is available to all, and it rests within those of you who have been redeemed by Jesus. You are a carrier of the throne of grace. You get to go. What's even better than a theme park with no fence is changed lives that get to go everywhere. And our model here, and our mission statement here, is that we want to press Jesus deep into you here so that the gospel will take root out there. And you get to take something here that's going to just be transformational from here. That is the relationship. Let's let the relationship go from there, and we can be free. Last thing. A lot of you guys know a guy named Wayne, right? This is Wayne's last night with us. He's going to be going to the military. He's going to be going to the army in 7 days. And we can, a lot of the staff today were saying how we're sad about that because we love Wayne. But Wayne, I think, is going to be our main example tonight. He's our main person that we get to pray over as we leave tonight. A person that, I don't think there's a person in this place that if you've even met Wayne for 10 seconds, you know that there's something within Wayne that's alive. You know that he's free. So awesome. It was so awesome. We're downstairs before this, and we're just chatting. I'm just chatting with Wayne. We're talking about rich people, and he's like, you know, that's cool for them. That's awesome. And I was telling him how, and a lot of people have a little bit of a jealousy for me, because this Friday my wife spent a lot of time took a lot of classes, and she earned a trip to Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii. I get to go Friday. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And what you're thinking there is what most people are thinking, like, dang it, I wish I could go. And Wayne's just like, that's cool. You're going to have fun. I hope you have a good time. There's a purity about Wayne. Can't hide it. It's for freedom that he's been set free. And I think if there's one person in this place that really practices that and shows that, it's him. I think he's our best closing example I could possibly think of. And Wayne's going to be going to a place that's potentially pretty dark. And I think it'd be awesome as a family that we could kind of surround him and we could pray for him. And we could send him off, because this place is not about... there goes Wayne there. This place is not about keeping anybody. It's about sending people. Come on down, Wayne. Keep on walking. Yep. Why don't you stand right back in the middle of that? Yep. Walk. Yeah, right. One more step right there. Stop right there. And here's what I think we should do. Just huddle around him. Let's go. Let's stand up. Put a hand on Wayne if you can. For those of you upstairs, why don't you just, you can just stay where you're at and just maybe put your hands out, or just know that you're joining with us a little bit on this too. And I'm going to pray as we close. Jesus, we mess things up. We make this about rules. We make this about us. We make this about your structure. We get confused about the things that are really important. Thank you for offering a throne of grace. Thank you for changing Wayne's heart, for making him one of the happiest people I know. Thank you for empowering him with your gospel, with that truth, with the beauty of what it is to be free. I ask that you would have a special presence, extra spirit power, if it's possible. Just, I'm asking for it, that you just put it on him as he leaves this place into a new mission field, and that he would take your gospel, your good news, to the U.S. military, to the U.S. Army. We love you very much. We thank you for this evening. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.